Man, what a week. What a week, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, if you don't know where you're at, this is the Stoic Sasquatch. I'm tripping over my own words tonight. It's just been a long, long week. We lost a really good friend this past week, and there's just been so many crazy things going on. I don't know about you folks, but this whole world has just got so many things that are crazy right now, and I want to touch a little bit on all of them, and also just take a little moment to reflect on this Easter holiday and the fact that it's Good Friday. So hang out for the ride, and hope you enjoy. So let's get started. One of the things I wanted to like just kind of touch on was, you know, I was reading through some of my studies. I'm sitting here in my cave, and it's one of those deals that, you know, sometimes when you're in a cave, maybe you got one or too many books, and I'm probably definitely one of those people that if my wife was allowed into my cave, she would throw away pretty much half of them. But, like, this week, losing my friend just brought so many things home to me about some of the challenges that so many of us face, and watching my other friend deal with the fact that he had just lost his wife. I mean, it was just so devastating to watch them both go through this and watch their kids go through this. And it just reminded me how many blessings I have in my own life and how lucky I am to have what I have going on. And, you know, it's just one of those things that in light of everything that's going on, with there being so many different things that are going wrong in the world, the number of just unemployment claims that are now out there. I mean, we're looking at almost 12 million people filing unemployment claims. I mean, that's just insane. Working with a couple of individuals this week and talking to them, they're contractors, and they're dealing with the fact that they just don't even have what they need in order to like keep things going. I mean, it's just one of those things that you just never know where anybody's at with all of this, and just watching them suffer as well is just heartbreaking. So, you know, again, I was looking at my Bible, and one of the things that I was reading was Psalm 60. I don't know if you guys have ever read that before, but it's just even the first bit here. I want to read that for you. It says, "Oh God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me." Man, I don't know about you, but boy, that was certainly my cry this week. Just in light of everything, just, you know, so much confusion, so much heartache, so much pain. And then, of course, at the same time, you know, I'm a Stoic. So I was going back through some of those writings as well and came across Epictetus. And one of his writings is, "It isn't events themselves that disturb people, but only their judgments about them." You know, it's one of those that this goes back to my studies in Japan as well, that there was a samurai swordsman named Musashi, and he had this distinction of saying that you have two different eyes. You have a perceiving eye and an observing eye. The observing eye, it sees everything very objectively as it is, the way it's presented, just the facts. It's your perceiving eye that kind of messes with you, and instead of just seeing things as they are, it applies meaning to them. So you may go through something, you say, you know, man, this is going to ruin me. How could this have happened? It's so-and-so's fault, et cetera, et cetera. And I just sit and think, you know, so many people going through what they're going through right now with this whole corona apocalypse. It's really easy to get lost. It's really easy to just kind of fall down and say, "Lord, you've crushed me." Yeah. And then I sit and think about, you know, it's Good Friday and last night was, you know, Thursday. Yeah, I know. Okay, it's kind of obvious. Thursday comes before Friday, but, you know, roll with me here. There's a point to all of this. Thursday is the day that most people forget about. Thursday is the day where Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And not just washed their feet, but here we have someone that, based on everything we know, was at the creation of the entire universe. He's there. He's in the beginning. He's been hanging out with God. He's the Son of God. And yet, here he is on his knees, scrubbing these dirty, filthy feet of his disciples. What an amazing foreshadowing of what leadership is supposed to look like. Here he is, you know, just laying it out there and being so humble. And then they all get together for their meal. And he serves bread to each of them. And when he does so, he knowingly is even handing bread to Judas, the one who's going to betray him. And he just points out, you know, look, this bread is broken, and it's broken to remind you of how my body will be broken for you. And they don't get it yet. You know, none of the disciples understand this yet. They're all like, okay, you know, great. That's awesome, Jesus, you know. And then he pours out the wine, and he pours it out, and he's like, you know, this is my blood. Do this as a symbol of the new covenant. This is my blood being poured out for you. And again, they don't get it. They think, you know, Jesus is having kind of, you know, maybe one of those weird woo-woo moments. You know, it's still one of those things of like, yeah, okay, great, Jesus. That's awesome. You know, and it's after this that he goes into the garden with a couple of his friends, and he goes to pray, praying that, God, please, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Let somebody else go through this torture. If there's any other way, Lord, please let somebody else do this. But that wasn't what God wanted, and he knew it. And he knew it even at the point that when he had even come to this earth, he knew that this is where it was all going to end. And he cried out to God in such a way that, you know, some renditions of the story talk about the fact that he literally sweat blood. And he goes back, and his buddies have fallen asleep on him. And he's like, guys, seriously? All you had to do was watch over me while I'm sitting and praying. You can't even stay awake a few minutes? And, you know, they're like, whoa. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we'll watch over you. No problem. Sorry about that. So he goes back, and he's praying some more. And sure enough, these jokers fall asleep again. And it's at this point that we realize that Judas has met with these priests, and he's leading their guard to find Jesus for 30 measly pieces of silver. Judas walks up, he kisses him on the cheek, and Jesus knew he was coming. He knew this betrayal was coming. And I'm sure that there's been many of us that have been in that situation where we just knew who betrayed us. We knew that this person was going to let us down. This person wasn't going to meet our expectations, that this person was going to just break our heart. And sure enough, that's exactly what Judas did. But then Peter didn't do any better. Jesus told him, Peter, before the cock crows, before the rooster even wakes up in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. Here's Peter, full of bluster. No, not me, Lord, not me. No, I swear, no, I'm all in. Not what happened. When confronted with challenging moments, Peter too fell. And he denied Jesus, even knowing him, 3 times. And what a failure he must have felt like in that moment. And I just sit and think, you know, when we lost my friend this week, the one thing that was the consoling moment out of all of it was that we all knew she loved the Lord. We all knew that she loved Jesus more than just about any of us. And because of that, we had hope and knowledge and joy in the fact that even though she was losing this battle with cancer and losing this battle with this disease that had just ravaged her body, we were going to see her again, and she was going to be just filled with a healed new body. That is exactly what was going to happen. So, you know, to me, it was great to have these reassurances, but in the moment when you're going through that pain, it's hard to find that reassurance. It's hard to find that joy. Just like all these folks are like having to file for unemployment. It's like, you know, Lord, Lord, how am I going to make the mortgage payment? How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to buy food to feed my family? And what I'm finding and what's amazing me and what's blowing my mind is, you know, the fact that there are also so many people stepping up to help their neighbors. So many people stepping up to just reach out and say, you know, I got you. Here, let me share what I have with you. It's not much, but together we can make it through this. And I find it interesting that in the middle of all of this, the stupid human moments that jump out are all the places that are just driving me crazy with arresting people for even just receiving prayer in their car or listening to a sermon from their car, practicing social distancing, and even one governor saying, you know, look, we're going to take down the license plates of everyone that attends church on Sunday, and we're going to send you a $500 ticket. Because, yeah, churchgoers are the biggest problem right now. You can't look around and not see all the different ways that the devil is attacking. And just that very night with Jesus, that Thursday into Friday, you know the devil was there. You know he was whispering all of the doubts. It's not worth it. It's not worth going through this. They're not worth it. These humans, they don't deserve your love. They don't deserve your commitment or your dedication. Part of me thinks, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe we didn't deserve it. I sit and look at all these stupid human moments, and I'm definitely thinking, yeah, there are way too many people who definitely did not deserve Jesus' love, and I am probably amongst the most of them. I've made so many mistakes. You know, and I have to sit and wonder that in the middle of all these struggles, too, how many people are struggling with their faith? You know, in light of these folks who are sitting and trying to arrest people for getting prayer or getting preached to, are they struggling? Are they struggling even to believe in God? You know, what's crazy is that on Friday, on the Good Friday, this is the day where the Jews didn't want Jesus hanging up on that cross because it violated the Passover. And what most Jews didn't even like think of was that here we have the perfect Passover lamb. This is one of the requirements of the Passover, is that you're going to have to sacrifice a lamb and mark your door with the blood of that lamb in order to ensure that the angel of death passes over you. Here Jesus is. He is that perfect Passover lamb being sacrificed on behalf of the Jews, on behalf of all of us. And what do? They don't see it. But so many of us don't see it. At this point, the sun is setting. We're going into the Sabbath. And the Jews wanted him off the cross. So the soldier reaches up. He's pierced Jesus in the side. They've pulled him down off of the cross, made sure that he was dead, put him into that cave, that rich man's burial tomb. Rolled the stone over in front of it, and just to be sure, they have set and posted guards in front of this door, just to make sure that Jesus didn't escape, or that people didn't try breaking in and stealing his body. It's the darkest hour. It's the darkest night. if you're one of his disciples and you're a believer and you're sitting there and you've been walking with this guy for the last 3 years, suddenly your whole world is turned upside down, no differently than the number of people whose worlds are turned upside down by loss, by the loss of family members to this crazy virus, by the loss of jobs. It's devastating. But what's great and what's just something to look forward to is that the dawn will come. So let not your heart be troubled, because guess what? Easter Sunday is coming. And he will rise again. Just like we, each and every one of us, will rise again. We will rise beyond this entire challenge. Our economy will come rocking back. It will make just this huge boom. And it is just going to shock the world, because all the groundwork is laid. Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, we are going to make an amazing comeback, and I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, I want you to care for one another. I want you to watch out for one another. There's a lot of just crazy moments right now, and it's one of those things that, you know, I want us all to get past this. So in order for us to do that safely, I gotta ask, when you go shopping, please put on a mask. When you go out and about, put on a mask. Until this whole thing is over, put on a mask. It's to protect you as much as it is to protect everyone else. And one of the other things that's on my heart tonight is just one of those things that I keep looking out at all the teenagers, all the kiddos, and absolutely tormenting over the fact that how many of them are contemplating suicide right now? How many of our friends are contemplating suicide? How many veterans are contemplating suicide? So watch out for the kiddos. Watch out for your friends. Check in with each other. Make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're doing okay. You may not be able to do much, but even just by reaching out, you help them identify that, yes, somebody in the world cares about them. And that's what really matters, is to know that somebody cares. Now, along those same lines, one of the things that probably is one of the hardest things to do in the moments of darkness, in the moments of our greatest struggles, is to remember that God is still on the throne, that God is still there. I'm looking and reading through the book of Exodus, and one of the lines that jumps out at me is in Exodus 18:10. It says, "Blessed be the Lord." Now in Hebrew, you say Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem is always an answer to someone asking, you know, how are you? And Baruch Hashem is blessed be the Lord, because no matter what I'm going through, he is still worthy of praise. He will get us through this. He is walking alongside of us, and he will pull us through all of this. I mean, it's really come to mean that God is deserving of blessing and praise regardless of our situation at any given moment. And so with that, how are you doing? Baruch Hashem. How's your cave? Baruch Hashem. How's the job? Baruch Hashem. Our lives are really pretty good, folks. We have lots of blessings. And it's one of those that I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm not a rich guy. I am just a lowly Sasquatch, and I just happen to be blessed with an amazing wife, with amazing kids. My house is mine. It's a roof over my head, and I don't know how, but, you know, we're still able to make the mortgage payments. We're still able to put food on the table. And things go a little bit further than we thought they would. So, Baruch Hashem. Do we have dark moments? Absolutely. More than I care to count. But Baruch Hashem. God's name, God, is still worthy of praise. So, with that, have a very good Friday. as we enter into the tail end of the Passover and the Sabbath, remember that it is always darkest before the dawn. It was something that as an old soldier, we always looked forward to. We were called night fighters because that was when we did all of our work, was in the middle of the night and going into the dawn. It was only then that we'd stop fighting. And that was that last few moments before the sun crept up. That it was at the darkest. But man, when that sun came over the ridgeline, just blasted everything with just this beautiful glow. Just made your heart sing. You'd hear the whole world start to wake up. The birds singing. The wind moving through the trees. Baruch Hashem. It's always darkest before the dawn. We will get through this. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I'm so grateful for you being here. I'm grateful that for all of my listeners, and you guys just make everything worthwhile. Have a great Easter.